Well, good morning, everybody. We are so glad that you're here this morning to celebrate with us. This morning is a special time of celebration. It's a little bit different than what we normally have here. In lieu of a sermon, you're going to be the sermon this morning. And what we would like to do is basically open up the front here. You'll notice there's a couple of mics up front here. We would love to hear from you. And specifically for those of you that have been here at New Life for many years, and maybe even some of you that have just only recently joined us, but we thought we wanted to take a week before we have our final service in this facility next week and look forward to the next 20 years to kind of look back at the previous 20 and to just give God praise for all that he has done. And I can tell you that in the short time that I've been here, I've seen God do lots of things. And I'm going to take a little bit of time a little bit later to share some of those things with you. But I just wanted to let you know that what we're going to be doing here in just a moment is open up the front for anybody to come up. And what we would like you to do is just come right up to the microphone. If there's somebody there on that side or on that side, just have a seat on the front row. And then when they're done, you'll come on up. When this person is speaking, this person can be in position, ready to go right when they're done, and we'll just keep it going like that. And we want as many people to share as would like to share. And just to kind of prepare you for it, these are some of the things that we would love to hear. We would love to hear what New Life has meant to you. We'd love to hear how God has worked in your life, what he has done, maybe not only in your life, but maybe in your marriage or in your family, or maybe in somebody else's life that you have seen God at work. Maybe how this body has helped served you and cared for you and encouraged you. Maybe it's something that you've learned. We are not apologetic about the fact that we preach the gospel here, that we preach the whole counsel of God. And for those of you that are relatively new to New Life, we just finished up a 13-week series. Actually, I think it was more like 18 weeks in the book of Hebrews. Last year, we were in the book of Genesis. Before that, we were in the book of Acts. So we love digging into God's word because that's what transforms us. That's what that penetrates our heart and reveals the things to us that we often do not see. And so in preparation for our time of sharing, and I will say this too, it's always difficult to get the first person to come up to the microphone, but then once that happens, it just starts to flow real well. So that first person I'm praying for right now, when you come up to the microphone, make sure it's right up to you, almost like you're eating a snow cone. Because if you pull back too far from it, it's going to either we're not going to hear you or we're going to get some crazy feedback. So please try to do that. I'd like to read something from Psalm 40 that I think will prepare our hearts for this time of sharing. These are just some selected verses. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. I have told the glad news of deliverance in the congregation. Behold, I have not restrained my lips. As you know, O Lord, I have not hidden your deliverance within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed the steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation. May all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. And may those who love your salvation say continually, "Great is the Lord." And so right now I'm going to open up the mics for you to come up and share. And I'm also going to be in the back with this microphone. So if you happen to be a little shy, you don't like getting up in front of a group of people, I'll just ask you to raise your hand and I'll come around to you with the microphone. And if your hand is up and I don't get to you, just be patient. I'll get there in just a little bit. So anyway, let's go to our time of sharing to praise God for what he's done over these last 20 years.
Hi, my name is Dean Bruckner. We came here just a couple of months after the Tomas did, and it's a little story, so I'm going to tell it to you. Our kids worked at a camp in North Carolina. When I was a kid, I had lived in Columbia, South Carolina, and I had started going to this camp, Ambassador Camp, and when Paul DeToma and his family were in Columbia, somehow they got linked up with that. And so our kids were friends and grew close to each other at camp. And so about that time, we were thinking of moving up from Athens to Canal Winchester. And of course, we looked for different things. Part of the reason was that my parents were going to come live with us, and we wanted them to be closer to Major Medical than in Athens, Ohio. So as we started praying and looking, we heard through the grapevine that the DeTomas were looking for placement in a church, and one of the churches we heard was somewhere in Ohio. And we thought, oh, good, well, we'll be able to drive and visit them sometime. So as time went on, we learned that the DeTomas were going to come up and candidate in Canal Winchester. And that and Pickerington were kind of the areas that we were focusing on. And so to make a fairly long story short, our kids' friends ended up moving in to a neighborhood that we would subsequently move just two streets away. And so we came from Athens, they came from Columbia, South Carolina, and that's how we found New Life Church. And I praise the Lord for the preaching that Paul and Eric and Ryan have provided, and others. I just appreciate the boldness and the obedience that they have done. Not all of the messages that they have preached run in concert with our culture. Most of them don't, but some of them really didn't. But the Lord blessed, and He blesses the preaching of His word. And we appreciate the friendships and the love that.
Good morning. My name is Michelle. And I also want to tell a story about first coming here 8 years ago. So first of all, the last two relocations I've had with my company, unbeknownst to me, God placed me right down the road from where I was to go to church. And so we live right down the road on Waterloo. And so we visited here, and there was music on the stage when we visited here. I had not, neither of us had attended a community church or a non-denominational prior to this. I would say I was a new Christian, probably 2 or 3 years into that walk. And so the music was a bit of a surprise. And someone who's actually here today, which is why I wanted to help share this story, was leading worship and singing in a very strong male voice, Matt. And so we visited, we went other places and visited. And then I had a teenage nephew that came to visit for the summer. And so I said, well, we can go to church down the road, but I have to warn you, it's like hard rock music. So here we are sitting at church, we stand up, we start singing, and there's that hard rock music up there, and Colton looks at me, my nephew, and says, Michelle, that's not hard rock. And so I grew to absolutely love the music and that strong male voice, because I sang with that strong male voice, as I'm not much of a singer, so I could follow that. And then over the years, the 8 years that we've been here, you know, the Bible tells us to surround yourself with Christians, and that's what happens at New Life. We've been surrounded by Christians, and what that does, other Christians, and we've watched people come to Christ while we've been here, we've been part of that, we've connected with so many people, either in life group or through serving in different areas of opportunity through the church. And it's equipped me to go back into the world, and at work even a lot, to have conversations and meaningful conversations with people, and to be comfortable putting myself out there with who I am and letting people know who I am so that they can reach out to me in times of question. Or we can have really challenging conversations even with other Christians at work. And So I feel like this foundation and the people here at this church give me that, a better ability to be able to do that every single day in the world.
I'm Sandy, and we came up, Paul's my husband, and we came up just over 4 years ago. And in the process of what they call candidating, or my husband applying for jobs at churches, it's a lot more like finding someone to date and marry than it is to like getting a job in any other way. Because if you work at Nationwide or one of the big corporations, you clock out and you go home, and you don't really have to line up lockstep with what the church believes. And it's not a whole family thing, like your spouse doesn't have to really love the people that you work with and that kind of thing. So in the process of Paul candidating for jobs and us going to different locations, my heart would just ache as we would go into something. You would think maybe this is it, and then you just get there and you know that it's not the right thing. And from the get-go, when we came up the first time, and Paul, we started the process with New Life, the warmth, the welcome, the camaraderie, all of that just fit and clicked to the point where we were afraid that it might not be the right fit for you guys. And so when the Lord called us here, what I have been incredibly blessed to have here are an incredible group of women around me that have befriended me, and that's been great. But to see the guys that Paul serves with on the elder team and Steph in the office and all of that, it's just been an incredible blessing. But more than all of that, to see our church go from being really, really great to really taking steps to even tune and refine the process of what church looks like here at New Life, in this whole new element that's not new to us, that's not new to God, but has been new to us, is the emphasis on discipleship. That has been incredible, and I've been a Christian since I was 11, and been in a lot of really great churches, but have not ever experienced the intentional discipleship in the body and the desire to reproduce and to be a church filled with disciple-making disciples. And that has just meant an incredible amount to me and has been yet another growth area in my life as a Christian, and I'm thankful for that.
All right, you got to imagine me with no hair. And, yeah, because Andy sent me a message this morning and said he wasn't going to be here, and so that he asked if I would read a message from him, Andy Shimp. So here goes. Picture me as my best Andy Shimp. All right. I've been very blessed to be a family member of New Life, beginning 13 years ago as a newly dedicated believer. Aside from growing me through the consistent Sunday morning teaching from the Word of God and building relationships with fellow believers, New Life has shown me how to live out Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 using my God-given gifts to serve as one member within a body of many different parts, with many different strengths and weaknesses, to accomplish one larger goal: to love God, love people, and make disciples.
My name is Troy Hampton. I've actually been a member of New Life for about 15 years now. We came in 2004, right after Brenda and the kids and I moved to the area, came right out of the Air Force, looking to start a new job, New Life, and all of that sort of thing. And so we found the church in the school building that we're going to be a part of again. And probably the one thing that I've been reflecting on since knowing that we were going to make this move was the number of transitions that I've seen and experienced in my lifetime, and how that is, in fact, the norm. I grew up in a church that I was a part of till I was 18 years old and went off to school, established another church once I was at school. In fact, when Brenda and I met, we went to that church, we got married in that church, and then transitions moved us to another church, and then we went into the Air Force and had to find another church, and those churches have changed any number of times. And so I'm stricken with the fact that we're changing again. And the fact of the matter is, somehow God's put it together in such a way that we do that. I've struggled any number of times to have friends that I was in fellowship with choose to go elsewhere for any number of reasons. Most of you know, for instance, the Bertrams, when they decided to go to West Virginia, that was a big deal for us because they were part of our group, but it was exciting. We've seen the Becketts go off to Mexico. We've seen people come and go. And there's this sense that that is a real struggle to give up on those relationships. But what I've seemed to see God do in all of these transitions was create new ones to build his body over time, given this opportunity for us to grow and to see and experience any number of folks. And so as I reflect on that and think about another transition, I think this is exactly what God has intended. Because this is what he's been doing my whole life. And a lot of times it's easy to not see that. And so I'm thankful for the fact that God is in control. He's got a church in New Life committed to preaching the word, preaching the gospel, sharing with folks and trying to meet them where they are. And in our day and age, people are all over the place seemingly. But the fact of the matter is there's only one thing that gets us where we need to go, and that is what God has taught us through his word. And New Life, as far as I'm concerned, will continue to do that because it always has, as far as I'm concerned. That's the one thing that has not transitioned.
Good morning. I'm Matt Henry, longtime member. Echoing the words of Troy, we've been here since the early days. And as he was talking, probably a lot of what I'm going to say is going to echo what he was saying, but a flood of memories during this process has actually come to me. So as a lot of us who have been here for a while, when we first heard we were relocating, I think there were some concerns. I think there was that question of the unknown, what will happen. But what I can say is God's people, God's church never grows unless it's through struggle. When we become complacent, our hearts grow dim to the word of God, to what he's doing in our lives. And it's in those moments when we question the most, I think God comes through in just shining colors and just really resonates within our hearts to be able to grow us as people, grow us as a church. Because we have to remember, and it was a thing that my wife and I discussed, which was the church is not this building. The church is God's people. And we were never meant to stay. The Great Commission is all about going out to the four corners of the earth and making disciples of every tongue and every nation. And that is what we've been commanded to do. So I think as we march forth in this uncertain area, I think that we need to remember that. I think we also need to remember we have a God that is in control of all things, that loves us, and that will never leave us and never forsake us, and will be with us through this entire process. And if I got a couple seconds, I'd like to just indulge with just a couple memories that just flooded through my mind. You know, on this very stage is where my wife and I got married, right here. Coincidentally, same day was the same time that my oldest son bashed his face into the altar as he was coming up to join us. So you had to deal with the crying and all that while we were going through that process. Right here is where I was baptized. And right here for, I'd say, 5-6 years, I had the extreme pleasure and blessing of being part of our worship team. So we have great memories in this building, but we're going to have so much more to come. Thank you.
I was going to share, so here goes. First, I wanted to read something from Isaiah 43, where the Lord is speaking, and he says, "Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I have formed for my purpose, for myself, that they might declare my praise," which is what we're doing now. And he goes on to basically to say that in doing this new thing, we're not to recall the former days or remember the things of old, for he will do a new thing. Now, he's not saying don't give praise for the things that he's done, because we're to do that. But he's saying that we don't live in the past. We don't serve a God who merely did something way back then. We serve a God who's doing something now and will continue to do new things. And so that's why I'm so excited. And I put some thoughts down on paper because I didn't want to miss anything. And really, I could have written a book. But as my wife alluded to, we came to New Life about 4.5 years ago. And it's amazing, even in that 4.5 years, we have seen God do some incredible things. And like she said, it was the body. It was the warmth. It was the camaraderie, the authenticness of the people that really stood out to us, the realness of the staff and the elders, and just how they interacted with each other, and we felt like, wow, we think this is a fantastic church, and we thought enough of it that we moved 8.5, 9, 10 hours from South Carolina up here to Ohio, where some of you know I never thought I would be again. But God has a sense of humor. He brought me back to Ohio, and I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. And I think I get to work with some of the finest, best kingdom-minded people, elders, and staff I've ever met. And you need to know that. You need to know that when we go into our staff meetings, when we go into our elder meetings, that we're seeking the Lord, we're praying about things. There are many times when we don't have answers, when we don't know everything, and we've got to study, and we've got to pray, and we've got to discuss, but we're intent on discerning God's will, because we know he loves this church even more than we do. I'm thankful for God's provisions over the years for sustaining our church through much difficulty. Some of you have gone through all of that. But I am in awe of what God has done and is doing. And in the few short years that I've been here, I've witnessed both salvation and transformation. I have been privileged to lead some of you to Christ, to baptize some of you. And many of our body isn't here today. This is a holiday weekend. A lot of people are traveling. But if they were here, I can tell you they would have stories to share. And so I just thought I would mention a few names, not to slight others, but just so that you know what God has done. I've seen God at work in people like Glenn Matthews. And now seeing God at work in his daughter Jill and her husband Dave. I've seen God at work in Paul and CJ and Brian and Tyler and Tyler and Bill way in the back. Matt, I'm seeing God at work in your life. Jerry and Carl and Scott, my new friend. God is at work in your life. And then there's Denise and Barb and Jennifer and Casey and Joy and so many others. And then I think about my own kids. And I think about how as we were looking for a church, part of the process for us was to find a place where our kids could connect, where they could be a part of a larger body, where there would be believers who could encourage them in their walk with Christ. And it's hard to believe all of them are out of high school now. But that all happened here. And I have seen faithful servants of Christ who serve here week in and week out. And I'm seeing people now engaging in community, choosing to serve and come on board and making the move with us. And so I'm thankful for all of that and so much more. But I am, I think, most grateful that my wife and my kids and I, we get to take this remarkable journey together with you into the next 20 years.
It's a weird looking snow cone. My name's Tyler.
Ooh.
Sorry, too much like a snow cone. My name's Tyler. I've actually been, I want to say an irregular attender because I've been coming on and off since 2006. Maybe even some before that. We were sometimes going back when it was originally at the school. This church has been just such a blessing to me and to my family over the years. We're here through hard times, and we're here through great times, and I think the thing that's been the one constant always is that God is good, and he loves the people here, and that he wants to see his mission and his work done through the people here. But that's what's amazing to me are the people of New Life. They've come, they've gone, but the people that are here for the time that they're here, for the time that God's allotted for them to be part of the ministry and the family of New Life has just been incredible to see. You make great friends here. You meet new people here. And well, when you walk in the door every Sunday, whether it's the people greeting you at the door, the people up on stage helping us lead us to worship and music, the preaching, they love you and they want to see you grow. If you're having a hard time, they help lift you up. If you're having a great time, they rejoice with you. So it's a wonderful place to be. It's a place that feels like home, and it's just a wonderful place to be a part of. It's exciting. You know, it feels like we're moving out of a large house into a small apartment for a time, but, you know, I've experienced in my own life when I've moved from a house to an apartment, it normally means it's not a place where you're going to stay. It's a place we're going to go, but the thing that I also know is that even when you move into that small apartment, you can still make it home, because it is still home, because the people that are there, the things that go on there, the memories that are made, it's with the people that you're with, and we all have one mission in mind, and that's to continue to serve God, to share the love of Christ with others, and to just be in community with each other. So I'm excited, and this building's been a blessing. Tons of, you know, I've seen my friends get married here. I've been to, I don't know how many church services here. I've had the chance to be part of the worship team. I've gotten to sing alongside that powerful male voice. When you said that, I was like, I know she's not talking about me. But you know, it's just amazing. God's been so good. He's been so faithful, and I know that he will continue to be.
Hello. Oofta. You'd think I'd be used to that, but I'm Callie James. I've been coming to New Life. Geez, it's really as long as I can remember, probably when I was 4 or something like that. I'm kind of a homegrown New Lifer. A little bit, so it's been quite a journey. I had a friend ask me earlier this week, I was sharing with her just about, only a couple more weeks and then we're out. And she asked me, are you sad about leaving the church? And my friend doesn't go here, so she doesn't know as much about everything that's going on. And I kind of had to think about that because if I'm being honest, up until now, it hasn't been something I'm like, yes, we are out, I'm done, it's been great, but peace, it's been nothing like that. It's been a little bit sadder. And as I thought about it, I started to realize that it's not that I'm sad, because I know why we're leaving, and I'm excited about it, and I'm excited for all the things that we've done already to prepare behind the scenes and with the whole congregation. I'm really pumped. But what makes me sad is more just nostalgic, like just thinking of all my memories here. Kind of like Matt said, I mean, I can't even begin to think of how many memories from my life are from this building. I mean, I remember running around in elementary and being on the kids' worship team when that was a thing, and doing my memory verses to get candy, and being with the youth. And this is where I served my 2-year-olds for so many years when I was a teen, just to get out of second service back when we had that. but then I grew to love it. And really what I just think of when I think of New Life is how this place has shaped my life and aging me from a kid. I mean, this is where I found my love for kids. I can't tell you, like, if I had a nickel for how many times I've babysat, like, for anybody here. I mean, I knew people first by their kids because I loved children. And that was what led me to become an education major, because of the memories I had here with both the little ones and the older girls that I got to hang out with a lot. It was such a blessing. And the service that I saw here by adults, even as a little one, like the fact that I could carry chairs eventually and do that kind of stuff and be with my parents before and after every single event, and this place has shaped the way that I see service. Even in my job where I'm paid, I know that serving people has a different purpose and that you can be a different kind of servant just by the way you treat people. And then joining the worship team eventually, I truly believe that was one of the things that helped turn me into an adult. You know, before I was just kind of a kid here, because I grew up here. It's kind of hard to get out of that. You know, a lot of young people don't stay at their churches because it's kind of hard to get out of that limelight, I guess, of just being the kid. But to be on worship team and find a voice that I didn't really know I had, and find an ability to lead that I kind of knew I had but definitely wasn't shaped, has been such a blessing in my world. And I'm so thankful that I'll hopefully be able to keep doing that. And so all that leads me back to say, when I was looking at my friend and trying to think of that question, is that really all of those memories that are what make me sad or nostalgic, this was just the place, you know, where they happened. The place didn't really have anything to do with them. They could have happened anywhere. It was the people, the little ones that I was playing with, and the adults that I was learning to talk to and become one of them, and life group. It was all the people that make up our church that make me sad to go, which now thinking of that is silly because you're all coming with me, right? So I'm sad that I'm not going to be thinking about those memories here, but I'm so excited that they're memories I always have and that they're just going to keep getting better with the new people that we bring in and with all of you who are still going to be here. I know my sister would say the same thing if she was here, just how our friendship has grown in this church and how it's really just shaped me. And I'd hope that for anybody who comes here, that they would feel shaped by that and that they will once we transition to, because it's going to be great.
I really like the time of praise. Exciting to me. We sing the Word of God frequently, every Sunday. In fact, everything we do here, the praise, the prayer, and the preaching, is all based upon the Word of God. Undiluted. One of my favorite Psalms is 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the trumpet sound. Praise Him with lute and harp. Praise Him with tambourine and dance. Praise Him with strings and pipe. Praise Him with sounding cymbals. Praise Him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. We tend to, or the society tends to relegate worship to a particular time and a particular place. The psalmist is not writing about a particular time or a particular place. He's writing about 24/7, 365. Our praise is part of our life, not just when we're here sitting in a building. It's who we are. It's who we represent to the world. So thank God that we are in a place today that we sing, we preach, and we pray the Word of God.
I'm Ryan James. So I kind of have to identify with Callie because I feel like I was shaped here. When we came here, Steph and I were 25 and 26, and we had whatever, 3 or 4 and 1-year-old. And, you know, from a spiritual standpoint, I was thinking this morning, I had a lot of growing up to do at that point in time. I'd been a Christian all my life, but this place was different. The things that I have grown into as I was shaped by this place is the emphasis of grace. And this was certainly the first church that I think was the first church that I was in that I thought people had any problems in. Because it was the first place the first church that I'd been in that encouraged the transparent sharing of life. And now, looking back on it, honestly, I've only been a part of 3 churches in my entire life, other than this one. But looking back on those churches, there was a lot of train wrecks going on there, and just nobody shared. It wasn't encouraged. It wasn't the habit. We work towards that, and try to come around here, and it was different and new, that idea. And the first few months of being here, becoming aware of real struggles, real sin, real temptation, and real difficulty was clear, and to become a part of that and be able to wrap your arms around people was different. The second thing that comes to my mind for me was humility. And as a 26-year-old kid, I thought I knew what was up on lots of different things, and I'm sure I shared it in a less than sensitive way in many contexts in those days. And so just as I became, you know, more sensitive to the Word of God and more sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and recognizing that others, that I ought not do things for my own ambition, but I might always think of others in front of myself and be able to be taught by the Word of God that truth. The third thing is prayer, and that when faced with uncertainty, difficulty, anxiety, which we as a church family have faced a fair amount of that in the last, since we've been here and in the last 13, 15 years, that it has challenged me as a person, as a Christian, as a leader, to recognize that that the only resource, you know, on a daily basis is God's Word and the Holy Spirit through coming to Him in prayer. And now as we come to this place in time, we look 3 weeks from now, and if I could do a find and search of my prayer journals over the last 10 years, which I can't because I write them, but nonetheless, I am confident and would promise to you that dozens and dozens and dozens of times have prayed for the financial freedom of this church. And dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of times have prayed for the relevance of our ministry in this community. And now as we face 2 weeks from now, having, by the grace of God, having and thankfully, it's not a manufacturing firm coming in here and purchasing this place and using it to build something and promote their business, but it's another gospel preaching church that's coming in here, and by the grace of God, somehow they're coming up with $2.3 million to pay off a debt that literally right now we cannot pay. And they're coming in here to continue on preaching the gospel in this place, and it's freeing them into a new era of ministry that they have, and God is blessing them with. And their move is freeing us into a new page of ministry that puts us with an office in the middle of Canal Winchester, coming back to that prayer of relevance in our community that I've been praying for years, and puts us in the middle of a school building in Canal Winchester, which still blows my mind that they allow that in this day and age of political correctness and kind of a sensitivity towards separating Christianity from anything related to public life. So by the grace of God, He is doing that. And so that the reliance and trust on prayer, and prayer is not answered on our time frame, and the renewed recognition of that in this context blows me away. Blows me away because we are... By His grace, this will get all closed out here in a couple weeks, and this financial freedom that will release us into a completely different way of being able to breathe and trust God and live in our own skin as we go to that school. And it won't bother me a bit whether there is a hundred people in the seats or 250 people in the seats. I won't care. I want who's here, who God has here. And I cannot wait. I cannot wait for that. And yes, I have nostalgia up to here in my own mind about this place. But at the end of the day, we want to do what God has for us to do. And we get the opportunity to follow his lead in this. And there is a whole boatload of God's grace in that. And so I'm so grateful. And then the last thing that I have grown into is this full picture of community. And with our ongoing and our historical emphasis on life groups, it's shaped me. It's allowed us to rub shoulders with dozens and dozens of people and walk through difficulty, walk through celebration, all of that. And now, as Sandy talked about, with our lifting that picture of community up to a higher bar with the implementation of D groups and emphasis on discipleship, it will change how our church embraces our Lord Jesus Christ. And everyone needs to consider that and figure out how that fits. I want to say fits in your life, but actually I want to see how your life fits into that, because it will change how you trust and how you live. And I cannot wait to see 6 months from now, 12 months from now, 18 months from now, the spiritual growth and maturity that happens as this gets fully rolled out. And people are inviting other people to D groups over the course of the next couple months as our training is now complete. And we'll have then, instead of a couple dozen people having experiences, well, dozens and dozens. And so by the grace of God, I'm just so grateful for this place he has, our church.
Of all the dumb luck, I follow Ryan James. What's with that? My name is Dave Miller. My wife, Kim, is in the back serving with children's ministry, and we've been here 19 years. I'm looking around, and there's not really a whole lot of other people I've seen that's been here this long. And I know that's God's choice to do that. But as I was listening to Callie, there's a lot of nostalgia being here this long. And I just wanted to go through some things that I remember. First of all, Kim and I, when we got here, we brought Elena with us. I think Elena was 2. And this is the only church that she's ever known. And she'll hopefully be back next week for the last service here. And I was fortunate enough that when Kim and I came here, we were both baptized here as adults. I was fortunate enough to be able to baptize Elena here. Our first life group, we had 4 couples. None of the 3 other couples are here. When we first moved here, because I just got a job, we had the first God experience probably of our lives, moving like 2 doors down from the pastor who was here, Craig Yoder. And because he lived 2 doors down, we were able to be here. We've survived Kim's mom's mother passing away, my mom's passing away here. We've worked with the youth here. We've gone on mission trips here. This is the first church I was ever at where it was a priority for us to work with missions, to actually go outside of the 4 walls here and do things. somebody brought up Nate and Trudy Bertram, and I remember one, two summers in a row that Trudy got it in her head that we don't need to have a VBS here at church because that wasn't reaching the community enough. So she said, well, we're going to get together and we're going to go out into neighborhoods around this church and we're going to take VBS to them. Crazy. I remember the first event we had in this building, and the pastor was here at the time. He said, well, you know what, we're going to do this today because we can't. Because for years we were meeting in the school building, and we were only allotted the time to meet there. And so once church was done, we packed everything else up and we had to go on our way. And Chris was up here and he said, well, we're going to have an ice cream social because it was in the summer. And he said, we're going to do it just because we can, because this was our building. We've made a lot of friends here. We've lost a lot of friends here because of whatever reason that God told them that they had to leave. I was talking with one of my friends, Barry Fuller, who we now keep in contact with. He lives in Texas. And when I told him that we were selling the building, he just kind of looked at me with this blank look on his face, and he couldn't believe it. And I just went through and I explained it to him, and he just kind of nodded his head through the conversation. And at the end of the conversation, he says, well, you know what? That doesn't really surprise me. He says, seems like New Life was always doing something a little bit different. A little bit different than some of the other churches in this area do. And as much as I'm going to miss the building, I'm glad that all of you are coming with us, because it's not about the building. It's about the people in it. And after being here for 19 years, I'm okay with saying goodbye to the building. But I'm not okay with saying goodbye to you. So thank you for staying. Thank you for being here. And thanks for coming on the next trip.
Well, it's interesting, all of the things that we think about that we're grateful for, all the things that we'll miss. I want to mention a few things that we're not going to miss. I'm pretty sure no one's going to miss the brown paint. Anyone? Nobody? Anybody going to miss the gray concrete floors? Nope, not going to miss those. Anybody going to miss the fluorescent light bulbs? No, not going to miss those. I'm not going to miss those either. Is anybody going to miss all of the mechanical repairs? Anybody? Nope, not going to miss those either. The brown carpet, we've got some of that. Not going to miss that. We've got some toilets back there that I don't think anybody's going to miss, or the sinks, or the faucets, and changing those with the horrible canal Winchester water. There's all kinds of things that we're not going to miss about this facility, and I could go on for a while about all kinds of things. But as we share those things that we're grateful for and memories that are here, almost, if not every one of them, is about one of two things. Either we've seen God move and do something in someone's life, or we've shared a memory with others. It just happens to be maybe in this place. And all of those things are going with us wherever we go. So as I've thought back of all the things that I'm grateful for, that I want to thank God for, there are many. But sometimes, as I'm reading Paul's letters, which I've been reading through Colossians here lately, sometimes I think about, well, what if I was to write a letter to our church? Does anyone else think about that? Regularly, just me. Okay. So, you know, oftentimes Paul, you know, he's grateful for the church that he's in, and or he's writing the letter to. And you might not know this, but most research shows that being a pastor is actually one of the loneliest professions out there. It is difficult, it is painful, it is filled with much hurt, loneliness, isolation. Many pastors deal with private addictions, they deal with depression, they deal with anxiety, all while having to come to a place on a Sunday morning and act like none of that stuff exists. And if I was writing a letter to our church, I would probably start by saying how grateful I am for you. Because I talk to many pastors around here and around the country that struggle with those very things. And not only do they struggle with those things, they're in an environment and a culture in their church where they would never, never share it. So not only is it pain, it's now private and secret pain. So I'm grateful for the fact that I'm in a church that doesn't expect me to be perfect. Doesn't expect me all the time to have it all together. Doesn't expect me to put on a show that allows me to be who I am and who I am today as God is doing his work in me just like he's doing his work in you. So I'm grateful to you as a church family for that. And the second thing I think that I would, if I was remembering things and thanking God for them, the things that I think about really don't have much of anything to do with this particular facility, but I remember the van rides or the car rides to camp and back. I remember the conversations that we would have, the things that we would laugh about. I remember the late night card game, Twizzler eating times at our men's retreat and talking about life and really getting to know one another. I remember those times with a few of you on the side of a bank catching fish. I remember the times with some of our student guys several years ago teaching many of them just how to fish and the times where they actually caught their first fish. I remember those moments. I remember those moments at a cabin, talking about life with students, or to camp Akita over the summer, or the winter with snow camp, and seeing our students be able to take a moment and breathe and set technology aside and actually having real conversations about real life. I remember those times, and I'm thankful for those. I remember those times with many of you and others being in the hospital, sitting there beside your bed and just talking about what's going on. I remember those times when God is healing individuals or maybe even you in those moments. And I remember those times when people have passed right there in our presence. And those were times that we were together. I remember those times with premarital counseling or performing wedding ceremonies with some of you over the years. I remember those times in my office or elsewhere talking about what God is doing or the struggles that it is that you're having and talking about how God might want to do something different, something better than your current situation. I remember being there with you in tragedy and in celebration with all of the things that you see God doing. And those are the things that for me that I remember and I cherish those moments. I'm so grateful for those. But if I was writing a letter, and I don't even know what it would call it, Canal Winchesterians, Colossians, Philippians, Canal Winchesterians. I would start by being so grateful for God, for who he is and his faithfulness.
Hi, I'm Trinity Yeomans. I'm 16 years old, and I've been going here for pretty much as long as I can remember. And I remember the church being both really, really full and days when you come in and you're like, wow, there's like seven people here. Guys, where you at? And I'm really thankful for all of the people that I've grown up with and the people that have come and that I've gotten to know, like Zach and Allie, Anna and Hannah. And I'm thankful for all the grown-ups or adults that have poured into me over the years and that have really formed the way that I see serving others in Christ. And I really wouldn't be the same without all of them. And I'm so thankful for like Miss Kim Miller and Eric and Carla Keys and all the people that taught me through elementary school and all the memories that were made here. And I'm very excited to see where we go as a church and how many new people I'll meet and how many new things I'll learn from each of them. And I'm thankful that I got to know Christ with these people, and I'm so thankful for all of them.
God has done amazing things, but God is still on the throne, and he's going to continue to do amazing things. And what's probably the most amazing thing about that statement is that he's going to do those things through us. The fact that God saved us, has called us to himself, and desires to use us. Many of you have heard me say this before. God does not use us because of us. He uses us in spite of us. It's his grace. It's all his grace. It's all his doing. We are just vessels that he uses. And so let me close this time in prayer, and then the band's going to come back and lead us in a closing song. Father God, we thank you for our time together this morning. Thank you that we can look back with fondness, even as we look ahead with excitement to what you are going to do. And Father, we thank you for the many lives that have been touched and changed, transformed. We think of the many people who have come to faith in you through the ministry of this church over the years, those who have become members of your church and members of this local church and who have gone on to serve you, whether it be here in the various ministries of New Life or even on the mission field. Father, we just thank you for all that you've done, and we look forward to the many new things that you will do and the work that you are doing in us and through us. Continue by the power of your Holy Spirit to transform us and conform us to the image of your Son. And it's in Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen.